Holding on Mimdala to Mimdala, order of the way down the Omer to Baal, the line begins Mishahayu Nasui. Mishnah said that the person that if you had the brother who died was married to two wives, we said you do Yibum Uchalitza with one of them, that patches the other one. And we said that if you just do Bia or you do Chalitza with one of them, and that's that. So till now, I mean, we talked about all the way back in the beginning of the Masechta, we took that as a given. Here the Gemara is going to examine, well, where Taka do we know this concept from? When Yabim L'Tavayu, the question is, why doesn't he do Yibum with both of them? Because Amakra Asher Lo Yivnes Beisachiv, the pasuk says that when he does chalitza, the Yivama says that he was unwilling to build up the house of his brother. Beisayzu Ishtoi, the word bias can mean his wife. So therefore, Bayisachad or Bainus. So we learn from that it means he can only build up one house. Vein Bainus Shnei Batim. He can't build up two houses. In other words, he can't marry two women who were married to the same brother.
You're going to say the brother of the house can be three or four wives, so one bias.
That's what we're saying. He's only Bainus one bias, meaning one woman. Otherwise, the Torah wouldn't have had to use the word base in the first place.
Bias meaning a woman.
Bias, yeah. Okay, then the question is, v'nachlitz l'tavayu, so why doesn't he need to do chalitza with both of them? If he mela, okay, yibum, fine. So we've established based on that if you're doing yibum, you're only doing it with one. How do we know if you're doing chalitza, you don't have to do chalitza with both of them? Al mazutra batruvia, al makra, because the pasuk then continues that at the chalitza, they say the base chalutzanal, the household of the one whose shoe was taken off, which means again bias echadu chalitz vein chalitz shnei batim. It means that also when it comes to chalitza, there's only one bias, not two. Same idea. Then the Gemara asked, "When a yabum l'chada and nachlitz l'chada, why don't we say that he has to do yibum with one and chalitza with the other?" So actually, Hagoyt Habach adds, and Tosfos has this girsa also possibly that before the Gemara gets to that, it asks maybe what it means is that you should do chalitza with one and then do yibum with the other. And, no, vice versa is what we have inside in the Pnim of the Gemara here. But we don't have the other way around. Then how do we know maybe it means you do chalitza with one, but then you still do yibum with the other? And the answer to that is that, again, the asher lo yivne, that we quoted before, kivin shalei banashuv lo yivne. Once you've chosen not to build up that household, then you can't build it up again. So once you've done chalitza, which is asher lo yivne, then you don't have an option of yibum. Now comes in what we have in the Pnim of the Gemara, and Yabim L'chada V'Nachlitz L'chada. How about the other way around? Maybe the Torah is telling you have to do Yibum with one, and you have to do Chalitza with the other. The answer is, Amakra Im Lo Yachlitz. But the Pasuk says, if he doesn't want to do Yibum, then he does Chalitza. Ha-Chafetz Yiyabim, which implies that if he had wanted to, he could have done Yibum. And the thing is, Kala Ola L'Yibum Ola L'Chalitza, any case where the woman goes to Beis Din for Yibum, meaning that she has a chiyuv of yibum. Technically, yibum doesn't have to be done in Beis Din, but we mean in the sense that she's chayiv, that she's capable of being married in yibum. Ola l'chalitza, then she can equally well go to Beis Din for chalitza. Kol she'ena ola l'yibum, but if she's not going up for yibum, meaning that she doesn't have a zika for yibum anymore, ein ola l'chalitza, then she also doesn't go for chalitza. In other words, so once we've established that. That once you did chalitza with one, we said you can't do yibum with the other because of asher lo yivne. So the same thing in reverse. Once you do yibum with one, the other one you can't be doing yibum with at that point because we said already asher lo yivne is beis achiv. There's only one. Therefore, once she's out of the picture for yibum, she's also out of the picture for chalitza.
Take it from yibum to chalitza to yibum, and then from yibum
to chalitza. Yeah. But oid, and another reason why you don't do chalitza with the second wife after you do yibum with the first one, in order that people don't think that you're going to have, that you have to have, in a case like this, you have to have, that from one household, you have one of them does yibum and the other one does chalitza.
Meaning they could think you could take both of
them. So that's the Gemara is going to ask, so what would be the problem? If once you do yibum, if you want to do chalitza with the other wife, what's the problem? That's the Gemara's next question. But, you know, a better question really is, if we just said there's a reason d'oraisa, because of this kala ola l'yibum ola l'chalitza, then why do we have to give another reason? What's this shalo yomru, in order that people, once you have a thing d'oraisa, you don't need a reason d'rabbanon.
Right.
The Tosfos, in fact, says that maybe we're not good at this old shalo yomru business. Once you have a reason d'oraisa, you don't need any other reason. Other Mefarshim say, though, that no, what the Gemara is asking is, for example, granted midaraisa to the second wife doesn't have to do chalitza, why didn't they make midrabanan that she should have to? And therefore, then, they might have made it in order that people should realize that she's not just going and getting married without doing anything. People might not realize that she was pastored by her tzara.
She doesn't get a star from the business.
But chalitza should get the star. But we're saying if he married the one yuvama, or if he married the one yuvama, there's a yuvama that's written for her. There's nothing written for the tzara.
So
that's what we're saying. Asking. That's what we're asking. The question is, v'yomru. So what do we need to make a takana d'rabanan for? Let people say. The answer is, idim yavim v'hadu chalit tachinami. You're right. If the guy were to do yibum with Rachel and then do chalitza with Leah, you're right. Technically, that wouldn't be such a problem. The problem is, elad dilma chalitz v'hadu miyavim. The problem is he might do the other way around. He might end up doing chalitza with Leah first, then do yibum with Rachel. And that's the problem. Then he's being over on the loisa from lo yivna as they saw him, that once he wasn't boner, he can't be boner anymore. So because of that, the chachamim didn't want to make. So therefore, that's what we're saying. The second woman doesn't have to do chalitza anyway because she was already pastored. We're not even going to make a takana derabanan that she should do chalitza because you could end up with a problem the other way. You could end up where he's actually over on an itza deraisa. As
if
a result of that
takana
with the second wife, then he might end up doing that before the yibum, and that would be a problem. Then he's also to do yibum anymore.
I did chalitza, but I can still do yibum.
Exactly. Right. Other mefarshim also, I think, the Ritva points out, there's also, in general, chalitza itself. I mean, it's a rather humiliating thing. You know, they take off the guy's shoe, she spits on the ground in front of him, etc. If the Torah is saying that she's potter from chalitza, then the chachamim are not going to make a takana to that you should do chalitza. You're not going to set up an embarrassing situation for no reason. Okay, the Gemara asks, how about another possibility? The ema ki ika chod of tiskay mitzvah yibum. Given that we're saying that the pasuk is mentioned in the word bias, and from which we learn that there's only one yibum or only one chalitza to be done, maybe what the pasuk means is ki ika chod of tiskay mitzvah yibum. If the person had one wife, that's when you have a mitzvah of yibum. Maybe what the pasuk is implying is if a man has two wives, there's b'chlal no chiyuv of yibum.
He has one wife, but it has...
Then there's an inyan of yibum, but maybe the Torah is implying by saying the word bias that maybe if he has two wives, there's no mitzvah of yibum.
How is the word bias telling you that...
Because bias is singular. It means only one wife, not two. That's why we said that you can't do yibum with both of them. That's why we said you don't need to do chalitza with both of them. So how do we know, b'chlal? Maybe what the Torah is saying is, b'chlal, if a man has two wives, then his brothers don't have a chiyuv of yibum or chalitza at all. There's no zikah.
There's no chiyuv of remembering the brother.
The whole thing is exerus hakotzev, after all, right? I mean,
Very well interpreted this way.
The answer is no. We had way back in the first parak, we learned that the tzara of an erva is potter from chalitza and yivum. We learned from litzra or from yivama or whatever, from various sukkim. If b'chlal, when a person was married to two wives, there was no concept of yivum at all, you wouldn't need any of those limodim. The whole reason is, normally if a person is married to two unrelated women, and then neither of them is related to you, then you do yibum with one or the other. But if one of them is a tzara, if one of them is an erva of yours, and the other one, therefore, is the tzara of that erva, the pasuk is implying that both of them are potter.
So, in other words,
otherwise, if it hadn't been for that, one or the other of them would be hired. So you can't say that if there's two, you're potter. And in fact, you can make a kavah chomer out of it. Hashta beis ba'alma amrit lav v'nei chalitza v'yibum ninu. If you were to say that the Torah is implying that when there's two wives, there's b'chlal no chiyuv of yibum, then that means so b'chlal, when there's two wives who are b'chlal unrelated, you'd be saying there's no inyan of chalitza v'yibum, tzara t'erva m'baya, how much more so when there's a tzara of an erva? So obviously that means that yes, there is a chiyuv when there are two wives. When it's a tzara erva, then yeah, one is an erva and the other one is a tzara, and therefore they're potter. But ordinarily, that implies that they're chayiv. One or the other of them is chayiv. So my answer is back, Allah maloy. Well, why not? Maybe you could say logically, it's trich. Maybe the pasuk needed to say it by the tzara erva. Sakudat hamina erva abroi kaima. Maybe you would think the erva is considered like she's b'chlal outside the whole thing. In other words, abroi means outside. Meaning, the classic case we had back at the beginning of the sefer, chamesh esur nashim potrus tzara seven, where we said that Shimon is married to Reuven's daughter as well as to another woman. you know what? Maybe we would think in that case, we completely ignore the daughter because she's b'chal not shayach to chalitza or yibum to her father. So therefore, you only have the one. You would think maybe it's considered as if Shimon was only married to the other woman, and therefore the pasuk has to tell you no from Lystra or from Yavama or whatever that no, both of them are potter. But maybe v'tisyavim sarah. So maybe in that case, you would think that sarah does yibum. But maybe you would think. But so maybe yes. Maybe the Torah is saying normally when a person is married to two wives, where neither of them is an erva to you, then yes, you're completely potter from chalitza or yibum. But if he's married to two wives, where one of them is an erva to you, we ignore that one because she's an erva to you, and we focus on the other one, and therefore the pasuk has to tell us that not, that you don't do yibum with that one either. But still, maybe if he's married to two, you're potter. Kamash malandas sira, and that would be why the Torah would have to say from the word litzra that not.
But he's married to an erva.
Not an erva of his own, an erva of yours.
Ah,
yeah. Remember, he's married to Reuven's daughter, who's a, yeah. Ella yivimta yivimta riva. So no, rather the reason why we say that if a person is married to two wives, why both of them have a zika, is because when the Torah uses the word yivimta a couple of times, v'imlo yach patish lakacha said yivimta, also yivimta yashaira, so we learn from that any kind of yivama, basically, that even if there's two or more of them, they all still have a zika. You only do one of them because Asher Le'ivne has Besach of only one bias, but all of them have a zika to begin with. Then the Mishnah continued Haitachas Ksheira, that if you had one of the women was kosher, Lekohuna, and one was not, so one of them previously was a Grusha and one was not, for example, then we're saying if you're doing Chalitza, Dab could do with the one who's Pasal anyway, so you don't Pasal or Lekohuna. Amr of Yosef, Kan Shonar Rebbe, in connection with this Mishnah, Rebbe taught, which we had before, Lo Yishbech Adam Meibod of Achayim Tzuchim Lahem. A person shouldn't pour out the water from his pit if other people, when other people might need them. In other words, kind of a matter of baltashchis, kind of a matter of sort of like koifen al midas sedayim. That you're doing chalitza anyway. It doesn't hurt you to do chalitza with the one who's pasul. Don't do chalitza with the one who's kosher and make her pasul unnecessarily. They're not really koifen al midas sedayim because not necessarily is it a case over here. Not necessarily is she looking to make a shidduch for the kohen. But still, the point is we're saying that don't ruin things when there's a way of doing things otherwise.
Not with the other one.
Yeah. Mishnah says, Hamaksa Grusha. Say if somebody remarries his Grusha, which as we learned back in the first parak, that the Torah says that after a person has divorced his wife, if she remarries somebody else and then her second husband dies or divorces, so you're not allowed to remarry her. So somebody remarries his Grusha. After she was married to somebody else, yeah. Or somebody who marries a woman he did chalitza with, or somebody who marries the relative of his chalitza, which we said all of them are also, Yotzi, he has to divorce them by Vlad Mamzer. And the child from that is a Mamzer, Divrei Rav Akiva. We'll learn in the Gemara why Rav Akiva holds that.
Even the Grusha?
Yeah, we'll get to it. But Chachamim ain't a Vlad Mamzer. The Chachamim say in all these three cases the child is not a Mamzer. The Chachamim do agree, though, that if a person marries the relative of his Grusha, meaning, for example, we know that we talked about before, let's say, for example, the sister of his Grusha, yeah, who's also to him as an Erev Minatorda, as long as his wife is alive, then there's no question.
The Chachamim agree
with that, because that would be a Chiyuv Karis. So we had before, and we're going to have at the end of the, we're going to have in a few blocks at the end of the parak, we're going to have the basic machlokas, what kind of unions produce a mamzer. We had, where we talked about this before, we had Rabbi Akiva, who says that even Chayvei Lavin produce a mamzer. We had the opinion of the Chachamim, the Gemara is going to mention soon, Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, who holds only Chayvei Krisis. We had Rabbi Yeshua, who's only Chayvei Mrs. Beis Din. So when Rabbi Akiva is saying in our Mishnah, The real question is, which the Gemara is going to start with, is Mela Hamachzer Grushase, that's also Deraisa. But the two cases involving the Chalutza herself or the relative of the Chalutza, is only also the Rabbana.
How can he be a Mamzer?
So how can he be a Mamzer? Yeah. That's the question. Oh, actually, no, the Chalutza herself, fine, is an Issa Deraisa, I show the Yivne. But the sister of the Chalutza, yeah. That's the question. How could Rabbi Akiva hold that if you marry the relative of your chalutza, that the child would be a mamzer? But Rish Lakish said, Kan Shana Rebbe, in connection with the previous Mishnah, that we learned the difference between, we had a case over there where a person marries is that where a person does chalitza and then then marries her sister, or a person divorces, or his brother marries her sister or whatever, versus a person divorces his wife and then his brother marries her sister, etc. We said there's a difference over there. Kan shana Rabbi, in that connection, Rabbi taught achoris grusha midivrei Torah, that your sister of your grusha is also midat Torah. Therefore, we said in that case there's no zika, I'm a sister at all. Achoris chalutza midivrei Sefer, but the sister of a chalutza is only also midrabanan, and that's why we said you need to chalutza, not yibum. So if it's only Medivah Seifrim, certainly Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold Medivah Seifrim makes a mamzer.
No. So how is he saying that?
That's the question. And the answer is, the Gemara says, okay, Tani Krevis Grushasai. You're right. Change the words of the Mishnah. We're not saying that the third case shouldn't be Anoite Krevis Chalutzasai, but rather Krevis Grushasai, which would be also Daraisa.
That would be a change.
Okay. But the Gemara says, okay, now I'm a Saber. In fact, that seems to be logical. The Katani Sefer, because then the Mishnah continues, Umoidim Benoit Krevis Grusha Sashav Lad Mamzer. We say the Chachamim agree by somebody who marries the relative of his Grusha that the child's a Mamzer. So, Iyamit Bishlema Ayuri Ba, if you say that Rabbi Akiva himself talked about that case and said that the child's a Mamzer, Hainu Katani Umoidim, then it makes sense. The Chachamim are saying, you know what, we disagree with you on the other cases. We do agree in that case because it's an Issacharis Dardaisa. The Krev of his Grusha. Eli Yamat Lai Ayri Ba, but if Rabbi Akiva is B'chlal not talking about that case, Mayu Moidim, then what are they being Moidim to? So what? V'dumah ha'kamash malan, d'yesh mamzer m'chayv krisis. Maybe indeed what the Chachamim are saying by Umoidim is they're saying to Rabbi Akiva, you know what, none of the cases that you're talking about are an Issur Karis. Two of them are an Issur Lav, one is only an Issur Drabanan. The Krevis Chalutzasai, but we do agree that if it's a Chiyuv Karis, then there's a Mamzer from that. So maybe that's what they mean by Umoidim. True, Rabbi Akiva himself didn't mention that case of Krevis Grushasai. He didn't have to. Once he said a Mamzer is even from Chayv Lavin, how much more so from Chayv Krisis? But how am I saying? We disagree with you on Chayv Lavin, but we agree on the Chayv Krisis.
But they're not making the Kalachon.
No, it's not a matter of Kavachim. It's not a matter of Kavachim.
Well, if they say there's a Mamzer from Allah, then...
Well, Rabbi Akiva, sure. But in other words, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva himself doesn't have to be talking about a case of Krevis Grusha. So, because he himself holds that Chayve Lavin make a Mamzer, for sure Chayve Krisis, like Krevis Grusha, which is Chayve Karis, or Mrs. Bastin in some cases. So we don't necessarily have to change the words of the Mishnah. We don't have to change Krevis Chalutzasai to Krevis Grushasai in order to understand the last part. What it means is Rabbi Akiva comes in and says in the first part of the Mishnah that whether it's an Issur Lav without Karis, or even if it's only an Issur Drabanan, nevertheless a Vlad Mamzer. And Chacham is saying we disagree with you on that, but we do agree where it was an Issur Karis.
Without changing
the words.
From Chalutzasai
yeah.
to
Grushasai. Yeah. The answer is Hakatani Lo Kamon. We don't need that. We learn later on in the parak. A separate Mishnah. Ezo Mamzer Kol She'a Basa Shuv B'la Yavei Dev Rev Akiva. What produces a Mamzer? Any relative where there's an Isser to any relative where there's an Isser to marry them, including a Lav. Dev Rev Akiva. Rav Shimon Atimni, I'm a kosher chayav and olav kares b'dei shemayim ba'alacha kedvarav. And the Mishnah continues there that Rav Shimon Atimni says only if it's something where you chayav kares, which is B'dei Shemayim, and the halacha is like what he says. So that we already have a Mishnah that says that. We don't need our Mishnah to be saying that Chachamim would agree.
We don't need to change our Mishnah from Kusha.
No, not we don't need to change. That means we do need to change our Mishnah.
Because
otherwise, what is the Mishnah coming to tell us with this Umoidim Benoitze Krevis Kusha?
Because
we know it from later on in the parak. Yeah. Incidentally, Rashi and Tosfos discuss later on that Mishnah about Rabbi Akiva's opinion, whether Rabbi Akiva is mentioning over here the word she'er basa, which means relatives. So does that mean he only holds where it's blood relatives of yours, where there's lo yavo, which would mean, in other words, that would still sort of contradict our Mishnah, because in that case, when our Mishnah is talking about, for example, somebody remarrying his divorced and then remarried wife, that's not she'er basa.
What is that?
That's it. She wasn't originally his relative. She was originally married to him. She's not a blood relative of his. So Rashi, in fact, says over there that there may be two different opinions within what Rabbi Akiva himself is saying, whether he means it across the board, all lavim, or whether he means only, like it says in the Gemara over here, maybe it means only a lav, where only the lavim that involve the arayas, that involve the close relatives. Tosfos over there discusses that not necessarily. Tosfos says that no, you could still consider Machzor Grushasai could be she'er basa in the sense she was his relative by marriage. She'er basa doesn't necessarily have to mean a relative by blood.
Israeli.
Yeah. Anyway. So So the point is, we already know that there was an opinion that only from a chayiv, from a chiyuv karis, is there a mamzer, or Mrs. Beis Din, is there a mamzer. Our Mishnah doesn't have to be saying that. If our Mishnah is saying umoidim chachamim, that can only be that we had to change the words of the Mishnah to say that Rabbi Akiva had said that such a case, chiyuv karis, makes a mamzer, and the chachamim, fine, the chachamim, and our Mishnah would say, you know what, we do agree with that. Okay, the Gemara asks, how about the Duma Kasasim Lantana Kedub Shimon Atimni? Why? Maybe the only reason it says the Umoidim Chachamim in our Mishnah is just to tell us a Stam Mishnah like Reb Shimon Atimni. Which, that Stam Mishnah wouldn't necessarily mean the Halacha is like him, by the way, because in fact we had, just the other day, we had the Stam Bachach Machloikas, and this would be a classic example that we'd have a Stam Mishnah here and a Machloikas later on.
But it could still mean they agree with him.
It would mean the halacha is not necessarily like him. The halacha is not like him, but at least it would clarify the issue that, in fact, the halacha is not like him. Because that later Mishnah does say, v'halacha kidvarav. Tosfos points out, so what? Just because the Mishnah says, v'halacha kidvarav, doesn't actually mean literally that the halacha has to be like him. We don't necessarily pass in halacha just because the Mishnah says the halacha is like somebody. Because
we had some cases like that where we said, halacha is somewhat like someone, and finally it was not like that.
No, we never had a case where the Mishnah itself says v'halacha kidvarav. What we're saying, yeah, that's the Gemara sometimes. The Gemara will pass in halacha like someone. But the point is, the Mishnah, remember, Rebbe didn't sit down and write the Mishnah from scratch. He used older collections of Mishnayos that were floating around and just assembled them together and edited them. So you could have, in one of those older Mishnayos, somebody had added over there, you should know the halacha is like Shimon Atimni. That doesn't mean that's the final decision.
It would be an opinion.
Yeah.
We said if it's a stam mishnah, then as a machlokes, then the halacha is like.
It's not like a stam mishnah. So that would be, this would be an example of that. And the aruch haner actually.
Well, that's
the argument that we're making over here. Maybe our mishnah is a stam mishnah like shimon atimni. Later on, it's mentioning the actual machlokes, and that would imply the halacha is not like the chachamim of our mishnah. The Aruch HaNer explains actually that there's yet another Mishnah, I think a Ksubos or Kedushin or something, that bears on this, that bears on this also, where we have the same opinion again, that the Mamzer is only Mechayev Krisis. So the point is, like this, maybe by having the Stam Mishnah over here would clarify that Rebbe only changed his mind once. He first learned that Mishnah in Kedushin, then our Mishnah, and then finally the Mishnah later in our Masech, later in, at the end of our Perek. Anyway. In the end, the halacha is indeed that a mamzer is only mechayev krisis or Mrs. Beis Din, which is basically what Shimon HaTimni says. But still, at this point in the discussion, yeah. The answer is, imken, listen to shal chayev krisis. If that's the case, if all our Mishnah wanted to tell us as a stam Mishnah like Shimon HaTimni, then it would have mentioned all the chayev krisis. Klevet grusha selomali, why would it single out the case of the relative of your grusha? El shmami na ayriba. Evidently, because Rabbi Akiva had mentioned that specific case, and therefore Shimon HaTimni is also mentioning that specific case. So therefore, we're right to back to that we have to change the words of the Mishnah in Rabbi Akiva's statement.
Not necessarily that we had to mention all the cases of Chayiv.
No, but at least the Mishnah would have mentioned more generally. Instead of Umoidim Benoitse Krovis Roshase, Umoidim B'chayiv Krisis Shavlan Mamzer. Okay, the Gemara asks still, the Dilma la'olam la'ayriba, maybe in fact Rabbi Akiva had not actually mentioned the case of the relative of your grusha, but I did a ton of machzu grushase, v'noitse chalutzase, v'krevis chalutzase, ton of nami krevis grushase. Maybe it's just that Rabbi Akiva had mentioned a case of a grusha, two cases of a chalutza, herself and her relative. So therefore, to round things out, the Chachamim talk about the fourth case, which Rabbi Akiva didn't mention.
Maybe he didn't mention
when you think about it, you have a grusha and her sister. You have a chalutza and her sister. Rabbi Akiva talks about three of those cases, the grusha, the chalutza, and the chalutza's sister, all of which are at most alive. Then you have the grusha's sister, which is an Issur Karis. So maybe Rabbi Akiva indeed is only talking about the first three. In order to round things out, the Chachamim mentioned, by the way, we do agree on the fourth case, even though you didn't mention it, but the fourth possible scenario that you could have involving a woman that you separated from, her relative, then we agree with you that would be a mamzer. But the point is, Rabbi Akiva himself didn't have to say anything about that. So we're still back to the question, if we leave our Mishnah the way it's written, then why is Rabbi Akiva saying that Kroivas Halutzosin, which is only Dirabanan, makes a mamzer? Ella, so no, we have to answer. We have to, in fact, answer. We do have to say, necessarily, that according to Rabbi Akiva, yes, marrying the relative of your chalutza would produce a mamzer. Well, Amar Rabbi Chiva Abba, Amar Rabbi Yechon, and Hainu Taimed Rabbi Akiva, what is Rabbi Akiva's reason? Because the Torah says by the chalutza, a household of the chalutza nal, base, we said means a wife, Hakosav Kore Beisa, the Torah. So the Torah effectively is calling this woman who was his chalutza Beisa, as if she was his wife who he divorced. In other words, when we said before that Rebbe had explained that Achos Chalutzasa is only Midrabanan, Rebbe Akiva would argue with that. Rebbe Akiva would hold that Achos Chalutzasa is in fact an Isser Daraisa. Well, if it's Isser Daraisa, so if her sister is an Isser Daraisa, then that involves Mamamza, yeah. On the basis of base chalutza nal. He says, in other words, the Torah is telling you that the chalutza is just like a grusha. Just like a grusha's sister would be also daraisa and is chayav karis, so would a chalutza's sister also be chayav karis.
How does he connect it to mamzer? I mean, base
because his rule is that any case where there's at least a lav, where there's at least a lav, produces a mamzer. How much more so karis? If he says that achos chalutza is not, like we said until now, derabanan, but rather also midaraisa and chayiv karis, well, then automatically that means that that produces mamza.
He's the only one to say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Shimon Berebi, hakol moedim b'machzeh grushasei, sha'avad pogim l'korona. Everybody does agree, even the Chachamim of our Mishnah who say that a person who's machzeh grushasei is the child's not a mamzer, but they do agree that the child is pogum to the kavona. What does pogum mean? So we had this concept before. Rashi says actually what it means is, when we say the vlad over here, we mean a daughter. So if Reuben was married to this woman, he divorced her. Reuben himself can be a Yisrael. Reuben himself can be a Yisrael. He was married to this woman. No, he can't be a Kohen anyway. If he's a Kohen, he's not allowed to be married anyway. Because she's right. So Reuben's a Yisrael. He was married to a woman. She got divorced. She went and married. She went and married Beryl. Who doesn't matter whether he's a Kohen or not. Doesn't matter. Beryl died or divorced her. Reuben remarries her, which he wasn't allowed to do. They have a daughter. That daughter is considered a halala. That daughter is pogum in the sense that she's a halala. She is not allowed to marry a Kohen.
She's not a mamzer,
according to the Chum, but she is pogum. Other mafarshim talk about the possibility that even if we're talking, maybe even if we're talking about a boy, that maybe he would be considered a cholol as well. Anyway.
According to Rabbi Akiva,
according to Rabbi Akiva, the child would be a mamzer. Yeah. But even according to the Chum, we're saying that the child is pogum. Man hakol moedim Shimon HaTimni. Who is this? Who are we saying everybody agrees? We mean that Shimon HaTimni agrees. Da'afagav da'omer Shimon HaTimni ein mamzer m'chai v'lavin. He says that you can't have a mamzer from chai v'lavin. You need a mamzer l'ayhavi. It's true. He says that therefore the child is not a mamzer. Pogum mi'ahavi. Nevertheless, we will consider the child to be pogum, to be a chalala. And how do we know this? Mikavachoymer me'almona. Because we can make a kavachoymer from the case of an almona who married a kohen gadol. When you consider if a Kohen Gadol marries an Almona, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks about the details of that Isser, and that Isser is not common to everybody, it's unique to the Kohen Gadol, and yet, but not Pogum, if she has a child with the Kohen Gadol, that child is a Cholol, or and if it's a girl, then she's a Cholola. Zushi, Sura, Shava Vakol, in this case, the woman who was, the Grusha who was remarried, where everybody is equally author to remarry their Grusha after she married somebody else, and it didn't, not Pogum, how much more so that the child should be Pogum? You might ask, Ikul Mifrach, you can slog up that Kalachayma. Mala Amona, Shekain, he asked him as Chalelis. How can you prove anything from the case of an Amona? When an Amona has relations with a Kohen Gadol, that itself makes her a Chalel. It makes her a cholol in the sense, as opposed to the machzor grusha, so it's not.
Makes her cholol, she cannot marry in the future.
Right. Yeah. It also means if she was the daughter of a kohen, then she's not allowed to eat truma anymore. Yeah.
But that doesn't preclude that her daughter is still.
No, but we're saying in other words, you see that there's a chumra when it comes to the almon of the kohen gadol that on the face of it doesn't exist by the grusha, which we'll revisit that soon and see whether that's the case. But for the time being, that's how it is. So then in that case, so that slogs up the kal v'chomer. So you find one chumra by the almona. Maybe you have another chumra that her child is also a cholol, which would not be the case by the grusha.
That's enough to slog the kal v'chomer.
Yeah. you can find,
same,
as long as you can find something in the case which you're considering to be the kal, as long as you can find a certain chumrah in it, then you don't have a kal v'chomer anymore.
Yeah,
v'chomer. Yeah. But besides that, the pasuk says he tayevetziv ve'en banei tayevin. The pasuk says by a person who's machzor grushasay ki tayeva he lifnei Hashem, which implies that he, we said back in the first parak, means she is considered te'eva. It's a repulsive thing to do, to be machzor grushasay. Ve'en banei te'evin, but the children are not considered te'eva. The children are not pogum.
In which case?
In this case, if you're machzor grushasay. So what are you telling me that the machzor grushasay, that the grusha's children are going to be pogumim? Based, first of all, you slugged up the kavah chomer. Second of all, we see the pasuk itself by the miut. He implies that there's only a problem with her, not with her children.
He meaning the
woman herself. V'oid Tanya, and we have a third problem. We learn in a brisa, the three cases that I mentioned at the beginning of our Mishnah. Somebody marries his chalutza's sister, or his grusha, his chalutza, or his chalutza's sister. Rabbi Kiva Oima ain leibah kiddushin. So Rabbi Kiva says kiddushin are not toifus in any of them, because the same thing as Rabbi Kiva holds that a mamzer comes from all those things, he also holds that kiddushin are not toifus in any of them. Any case which is also by a lav, then kiddushin are not toifus.
So there's a theory saying
that
the blood is a mother, but the
kiddushin will not help? No, on the contrary, because Rabbi Kiva holds those two things are related. Think of it, for example, according to everybody, a person marries a sister, let's say, there's no question, kiddushin are not chal, and according to everybody, this kid's a mamzer. Later on, tomorrow, when we get to it, so we might get to a little bit today, but more likely tomorrow, we're gonna get further into this, how closely are these two things related? The question of whether kedushin are tofus and the question of whether the kid is a mamzer. But for right now, anyway, the Braisa says, so Rabbi Akiva is saying that ain loy b'kedushin, that kedushin are not chal, ve'ein estricha emenu get, you don't need to get the chal, because the kedushin were never tofus, v'hi psula, she herself is posel, the woman, uvlad posel, and the child is posel, v'kofin oselahitzi, and we forced him to divorce her. The Chacham saying all these cases, kedushin are tofus, because it's only an isu lav, not an isu koris. Or in the case of the sister of the chalutza, it's only the rabbanan according to the chamim. But tzricha himenu get, she does need a get, because again the kedushin were typhus. V'hi kshero v'lad kosher. Now, and here is the key part, which is why we're bringing in this braisa. The chamim say she is kosher and the child is kosher. What do we mean by kosher? Laman lav l'kohuna. Don't we mean kosher in the sense that the child is not pogrom, not a chalal, and is allowed to marry kohenim, or according to Tosfos is allowed to eat truma? The answer is lakal. No, what we mean by kosher is just that the kid is not a mamzer, unlike Rabbi Akiva is saying, but they might still be pogum.
To marry a kohen.
Well, in that case, well, let's see. I mean, we're saying she's kosher and the child is kosher. If you're telling me the child is kosher just means the child is pogum, the child is cholol, let's revisit. What do you mean, he's shera? Laman. We're saying that the child is kosher, we're saying lakal, that they would be allowed to marry anybody else other than kohen. But what do you mean? In that case, then he shera should also mean the same thing for parallelism. So Laman, Ilema Lakahol, do you mean that she's kosher Lakahol? Well, Pshita, of course she's Mutu Lakahol. Mishum Dizanya Iftala Lakahol. What, just because she was married improperly, would that make her also to everybody else? Of course not. With this Maxi Grushase, for example, yes, her first husband was not allowed to remarry her,
but everybody else could.
We
seem to be implying not.
Yeah. No, not we seem to be implying not, but in other words, there's no reason to think otherwise. Even Rabbi Kiva would agree that she herself is kasha l'kahal. The Chachamim don't have to say he ksheira, meaning she is kasha l'kahal. Ela lav l'kahuna. Obviously, what the Chachamim mean is that she remains kasha l'kahuna, that she remains kasha to marry a kohen.
Because you're not saying on everybody else. So you have to say that it's...
So it has to be that it's to kohenim. Umidihi l'kohuna, v'lod anami l'kohuna. If we mean by kshero, we mean she's still kosher to marry a kohen, necessarily, therefore, v'lod also has to mean that he's kosher, that her vlad, her daughter, is kosher to marry a kohen, so not a chalala. So you just told me that Rabbi Yosef is saying that the vlad is pogum. We see from the implication of this, but I said it's not. So the Gemara answers, "Midi iria." So what's the problem? What's the question? Hakid isa v'hakid isa. Each one might be talking about its own kind of thing. He ksheira and vlada kosher could be talking about two different kinds of kashrus. She is kosher l'kohuna. She is even allowed to marry a kohen at this point. But the she but the daughter is possible to marry a kohen.
That's hard to imagine.
Hachinami Mistabra. And in fact, the Gemara says that seems to be logical. Dekatani Reisha, because if we look back at the Reisha, at what Rabbi Akiva said, he said, Heep Solo of Lada Apostle. He said, she is Apostle and her child is Apostle. And again, we have to ask, Heep Solo Laman. When you say she's Apostle, now remember, according to Rabbi Akiva, the kid is a Mamzer. But we have to ask, what do we mean? She is Psula. Again, are you going to say that it means the same thing as the same kind of psul as the child, that the child is a mamzer? You're going to say the woman is also awesome lekahol? Can't be, again, mishum dezanya ipsul lekahol. Again, just because she was mizana, just because she had an improper relationship, doesn't it make her also to the rest of the world, to Yisraelim? Ela lav lekahuna. Obviously, it means that she's psul, according to Rabbi Akiva, to kohenim. And when we say uvlad apostle leman, conversely, then when Rabbi Akiva says that the child is apostle, what do we mean? Ilay melekahuna halakah kasher. What do you mean? Is she only apostle to marry a kohen, but she'd be allowed to marry anybody else? Can't. Hamer Rabbi Akiva have lot mamzer. We said Rabbi Akiva said the kid is a mamzer. Ela pshita lakah. Obviously, it means obviously when it comes to the kid, when Rabbi Akiva uses the word uvlad apostle, he means mamzer. So in other words, we see that in Rabbi Akiva's statement, he psulo of Lod Apostle, he means two different kinds of psulim. She is apostle of Kohona, the child is apostle to everybody, because the child is a mamzer.
So
we see if in Rabbi Akiva's statement, the two psulim can mean two different kinds of psulim. Sefer Nami Hakadisa Hakadisa. Then in the Sefer also. So it is very logical to say that the Chachamim mean she is kosher for the kahuna, but the child is possible with kahuna and only kosher the call.
In the Reisha it was the Chachamim.
In the Reisha it was Rabbi Akiva.
Rabbi Akiva
saying she is possible and then Sefer it's the Chachamim.
Right. So but, we don't necessarily have to say that both have to be parallel to each other. One was Rabbi Akiva and the other one.
No, we don't have to, but at least there's a logical reason to assume. Yeah. So therefore, we don't have a question from this Braisa at all. In the end, we can understand the Braisa as saying exactly what Rabbi Yosef is saying. She remains kosher lekahuna. The child is pogum, is pasul lekahuna, is a chalala. Okay. And going back to the second question, where we asked about Hitayeva, the Hitayeva Nami, I can transfer the question from the pasuk that said he, where we said that he is a mute, implying that the children aren't a problem. Because you could,
meaning the woman.
Because you could explain, like we said in the first parak, it could also mean Hitayeva ben Tsarasa Tayeva. It could mean that she's Tayeva, but her Tsara is not, which we learned in the first parak. We have the case of somebody who was Maksu Grushosai and also had another wife. Where we say that if he dies, we said his brother is not allowed to do Yibum with this Grusha herself, but he would be allowed to do Grusha with the Tzara. We don't say the Tzara became possible because of the Grusha. Mm-hmm. So therefore, that's what it means. The he would be a mute to say her, but not her Tzara. Abba Bonea Te'evin, but maybe the he would not be Mamai the children. So you don't have a problem from that Te'eva he. You don't have a proof against Rabbi Yosef from that.
Because it may mean the other woman.
Yeah, instead of meaning the children. Ela Almana Kasha, but you're still left with the first question that we have. We're kind of going in reverse order of through the questions. We're still back to the first question on Rabbi Yosef. Ela Almana Kasha. We have the question we had from the Almana. That we wanted to make a Kabbal Chaymer for an Almana Lekain Gadol, but we slugged it up. Mala Almana Shekeni Yatam is Chalala. We slugged it up because Almana has Chumra in that she herself becomes possible, becomes a Chalala. So what makes us say then that the child of a grusha who was remarried should be a halala? You want to prove it from the Amon of the Kohen Gadol? You can't prove it from the Amon of the Kohen Gadol. So where is Rabbi Yosef getting this from?
You cannot prove it from the Amon.
Because the Amon of the Kohen Gadol has a special situation. She becomes a halala.
With a current gobble. You cannot apply to...
No, but the point is, that no, we wanted to say, since we see that's only with the current gobble as opposed to Master Gurushase applies to everybody, then how much more so? But we said, no, the Amon of the current gobble has a unique feature that Master Gurushase doesn't have. Ela I itmar hochi itmar. So no, let's correct what we said. The statement rather was said as follows. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Abi, Hakol Moedim Abah Chayve Krisis Shavlan Pogrom. Everybody agrees that if somebody, not like we said, that if somebody is Machzor Grushosai, that the child is Pogrom, that not everybody, that we said, we don't, not necessarily everybody would hold that. Rabbi Akiva would hold the kid as a mamzer, and everybody else might well hold the kid as kosher, because we don't have a source to say otherwise.
And it, you know, Chayek Karas for that.
Right. But rather, Hakol Moedim Avah Chayvik Christus Shavlat Pogum. Everybody would agree that if a person has relations with Chayvik Christus, that the child is Pogum, meaning a Cholol. Man Hakol Moedim, and according to this, who would be, everybody agrees, who's the everybody? Because according to Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, according to Rabbi Akiva, certainly the child is a mamzer. Even according to Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, it's Chayvik Christus, so therefore also the child is a mamzer. Who would be the one to say otherwise? That would be Rabbi Yeshua.
Not the Chachamim.
Well, the Chachamim means Shimon HaTimni. When we have later on in the parak, when we have the different opinions,
So who
would it be that normally would say this, that would say this kid is kosher, but nevertheless it is not considered a mamzer, but nevertheless is pogum? That would be Rabbi Yeshua. The Afagav del Amr Rabbi Yeshua and mamzer mechayvik krisis. Even though Rabbi Yeshua holds that you can't have a mamzer mechayvik krisis, according to him, a mamzer is only from chayvik mrs. based in. Nevertheless, Nihid Mamzer Lehabi, it's true, the child's not a Mamzer, Pogum Mihabi. Nevertheless, he will be Pogum. And again, we can use the same Kabachimer as before, the Kabachimer Malmana.
So he will be Pogum, but he won't be a Mamzer, because he would think a Mamzer comes
only from Chayvah Mrs. Basin. And this is only Chayvah Krisis.
Right.
And what do we get then? The Kabachimer Malmana. Again, we'd use the same Kabachimer for Malmana. Well, Malmana Lekoin Godro Sheni Surah Shavah Bakol, but not Pogum. And Malmana Lekoin Godro, where it's only an Isser on the Koin Godro, it's not an Isser on anybody else. And yet, the child is Pogum. Zushi Surah Shavah Bakol, and it did not Pogum. Here by Chayvah Krisis, which are also to everybody. How much more so the child is Pogum. Vechi Tema, and if you're going to try to slug it up like we did before, Malamana Shakin Yasim is Chalelis. The answer is, Hachanami, in our case also, Kivin Shaba'ola Asa Zaina. Once somebody has relations with her where they're Chayav Kares to each other, then that automatically makes her a Zaina. She's also possible to Kohana at that point. So therefore, yes, it's exactly, so therefore we have an exact comparison with the Almana, the Kohen Gadol. The Almana becomes a Chalala, and her child is a Chalala. Same thing over here, the woman becomes a Zaina, which is also to Kohenim, and the child becomes a Chalala. We still have time to continue. We might as well see what we can do with Memhei and try to see what we can catch up. Now the Gemara is going to get into the very interesting discussion, which we touched on at the end of the first parak and a little bit in the second parak also. What happens in the case of mixed marriages, or not really marriages, but mixed unions, a yid and a goy? Everybody would agree that if an Eved or a Goy has relations with a Bat Yisrael, then the child is a Mamzer. Now, what do we mean by that? Who is the everybody who agrees to that? Again, Shimon HaTimni. Well, at this point, I mean, here we're mentioning the individual opinions so far. Rabbi Akiva, Shimon HaTimni, and Rabbi Yeshua. Who the halacha is like, we'll get to later when we get to that Mishnah. Even though it's true that Shimon HaTimni says that you can't have a mamzer from Chayvei Lavin, and this is only a chiyuv lav. In the case of an eved, there's a lav of loisi akdeshim of Bnei Yisrael, that a Jewish woman is not allowed to be promiscuous. She's not allowed to have relations with somebody who marriage is not shayach with, which is an eved. An eved is amadom al chamer, as we have in Parshas Vayera. Shvul chamer ima chamer amadom al chamer, so they're not shayach to kedushin. In the case of goyim, now the pasuk mentions that you're not allowed to intermarry with goyim. Lois is chatin bom. And there's a big machlokas rishonim whether the Issur min haTorah applies only to the seven nations, only to the nations of Canaan, or whether it applies across the board to all goyim in the world. Either way, though, everybody agrees for sure that if a goy just has relations with a Jewish woman outside of marriage, or a Jewish man with a goyish woman, for example, then that's definitely only an Isser Lav.
Outside of marriage.
And then definitely at most it's an Isser. No, in other words, they're shacked up. You have a Jewish man and a goyish woman, or vice versa, who just shacked up outside of marriage. Neither of them is married. At most, it's a lav. Actually, there's even the Gemara and Avodah Zarah mentioned that some such things are actually only also from a takana de rabbanan, from the based in Shochash Menoyim. But at most, though, at most, we're dealing here with a lav. So then, why? So
according to
everybody. So why would Shimon HaTimni say that there's a mamzer and that the child is a mamzer in this case if it's only a chiyuv lav? Because hanimilim chayve lav in the tafsibu kedushin. Because Shimon HaTimni would say his rule only by chayve lavin where kedushin are shayach, where kedushin are toifet. Aval hacha over kachavim be'evet kimin le'tachtibu kedushin, but with a goy and a slave, kedushin are b'chalal not toifet. Therefore, kachay v'kris is dummy. So therefore, it's considered like a chiyuv karis. It's true; it's only a lav. In other words, when Shimon HaTimni is saying that only from an isur karis you get a mamzer, he doesn't mean only from an isur karis. He means from anybody with kedushin are not toifet. With a goy or an eved, only. So anything with kedushin are not toifet. Chayvim is based in kedushin are toifet. Chayvim kris is based in kedushin are toifet. Chayvim kris. And with a goy or an eved, also kedushin are not toifet.
All the chayvim
kris. All the chayvim kris is based in, and these two lavim.
With a goy and.
With a goy and an eved.
And an eved.
So therefore they. So that's his rule, therefore, they'd be considered as if they were chayv krisis. You might ask Mesvi, why? I have a contradiction to that. A braisa says, We have a braisa that says that if a goy or an eved has relations with a bas yisrael, the child is a mamzer, but Reb Shimon ben Yehuda says that no, you can only have a mamzer from a case where there's an isur erva, and it's punishable by Karis.
Well, they differ in opinion.
They're different opinions, fine, but the point is that we see that Shimon Yehuda basically holds the same as Shimon HaTimni. Shimon HaTimni is saying the general rule only when it's Chayav Karis. Evidently, then, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, who spells out the same rule, holds the same way, and he's clearly saying that because there's no Issu Erev over here, and because there's no Issu Karis, therefore it's not a mamzer. So what do you mean Shimon HaTimni would say the kid is a mamzer? Rather, who is the everybody who agrees, who would say that the child was a mamzer? That would be not Shimon HaTimni, but rather Rebbe.
You cannot say Shimon HaTimni.
Can't say it's Shimon HaTimni, because evidently he holds the same as Reb Shimon Yehuda, but rather Rebbe. Afagav the Rebbe oimer ein advarim alolo amurim elu l'dir Rebbe Akiva shayu oisa chalutza ke'erva, v'loy loy svirlay. Even though Rebbe says that a certain din, which we're going to have in the next parak, is only according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that a chalutza is considered like an erva, which a chalutza is only an isulav, asher leyivne, and Rabbi Akiva yet nevertheless holds that it's like an isul karis, and therefore it makes a mamzer. V'leile svirle, evidently Rebbe himself doesn't hold the same way, because he says only according to Rabbi Akiva, which means I myself hold differently. Nevertheless, Rebbe would agree if it comes to a goy or an eved that the child from a Jewish woman is a mamzer.
So they differ in the which one?
So they're arguing. So Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva would be arguing about the case of a chiyuv lav, which is about a chiyuv lav. Where according to Rabbi Akiva, kedushin are tofus, but the difference is tofus talks about it over here that the isu lav, let's say the chalutza, fine. According to Rabbi Akiva, kedushin are not tofus with the yavam because it's an isu lav, and according to him, kedushin aren't tofus in that case. But kedushin would be tofus between her and somebody else. She is the toras kedushin. She does it. She is shayach to kedushin, just not with this person, according to Rabbi Akiva. Mashenkin, a goy or an eved, or a chalal not shayach to kedushin with anybody. So therefore, that's the distinction. Rabbi Akiva would say, of course, would say the child's a mamzer because he holds the child's a mamzer no matter what kind of issue it was. Rebbe would say, I disagree in the case of a chalutza because a chalutza is only a lav, therefore that doesn't make a mamzer.
Only
chayvei krisis and Mrs. Bastian. But in the case of a goy, even though it is a lav, it's not a chiyuv koris, nevertheless, I will agree that it makes the child a mamzer.
On the basis of
the chiyasir of Dimi, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Dimi, Mishum Rabbeinu, because when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he reported that Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Dimi said in the name of Rabbeinu, which means Rebbe, Ovid Kachavim Ve'Evid Abba Abbas Yisrael Avlad Mamzer. Rebbe clearly said that. So obviously, that's what Rebbe holds.
How long before Rebbe?
This is Rebbe himself we're talking about.
No,
Rebbe.
Right.
Rebbe Dimi is a couple of generations later. He's reporting what happened 100 or whatever years earlier. And the Gemara tells a case of Achasara Bir of Tanchum Breder Chia Ishkvar Akoi, Proy Kanu Shvuyasa de Osama Amin Latveria. These two Amaroim, Rab Achasara Bir and Rab Tanchum, the son of Rab Chia Ishkvar Akoi, they redeemed some women, some Jewish women who had been captured by Goyim and had been brought from Amin to Tveria. Havachoda de Abram Oyvid Kachavim. Among these women was one who had become pregnant by a guy. One of the captors had raped her, Mistama. But also the Kamei de Rabami, so they came to Rabami to ask what's the din of the child. Amalahu, so Rabami tells them, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chanina de Amri, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Chanina all say, Ovid Kachavim v'Ovid Ababa Tisrael Avlad Mamzer. So there you go then, the child's a Mamzer, he says. However, Amr Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef says, what, Rabusel Mikshav Gavri? What is it, you think it's so important that you're able to mention many different opinions? Okay, so you have three Amaroyim who hold that way, very nice. I can bring you other Amaroyim who say the other way around. Harav Shmuel B'Bavel, you have Rav and Shmuel and Bavel, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi B'Akapara B'Eretz Yisrael, and you have Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and B'Akapara in Eretz Yisrael, V'Amri Lo, and others say, Chiluf B'Akapara V'Ayri Ziknei Dorim, instead take out B'Akapara and put it instead the Tamar Chachamim of the south of Eretz Yisrael. So that's four. The Amri, and they say, Eretz Chachamim V'Eretz Ababa Sol Avlad Kasha. So four against three. Well, not necessarily. I mean, that's not all the different opinions on the subject. But the point is, in other words, that Rabbi Yosef is saying, just because you find that there are three Amoraim who say one way, doesn't mean that establishes the halacha. So therefore,
this point, the halacha is right. It's not a mamzer.
Well, that's what the question is. We just said before, we just quoted before in the name of Rebbe that have lot mamzer. So how does this work then? What's going on over here? Ela, Amr Rabbi Yosef, Rebbe. He said no. Rabbi Yosef says it's not a question of how many Amaroyim are on the different sides of the issue, but rather we just look at what Rebbe said. So forget about yes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar and so forth. Fine, that's Amaroyim against Amaroyim. That doesn't prove anything. The fact that we have Rebbe saying that the child is a mamzer, that should establish the halacha. However, we have a couple more minutes, let's see. However, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amar HaVlad Mekukal. But then we find Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says the child is not a mamzer. The child is Mekukal, meaning literally Mekukal means messed up. So what does that mean? Laman. What do we mean messed up? Ilei Melakahol. Do you mean that he's not allowed to marry into the Jewish people? That would be a mamzer. Homer Rabbi Yeshua HaVlad Kosher. Elalukhuna. So no, rather what it means is he's mekukol in the sense that he's a cholol. Okay. The kulu amaroi, the machshiri, because even all the amaroim we just mentioned who hold that the child is kosher, moidu shavlad pogum lekorona, they still hold that the child is pogum is pogum lekorona. And again, the same kavachomer as before. Kavachomer the almana ma almana lekoyin gadol sheni suru shavu b'kol b'nat pogum. The almana lekoyin gadol where it's a unique thing to the kohen gadol, and yet the child is pogum. The child is a cholol, and we know that because we didn't talk about it before, but we know that because the pasuk says by the kohen gadol marrying an almana, it says v'lo yichalol zarei ba'amav. He should not make. Not be machalol his children. Evidently, if he marries an amana, he makes his children halalim.
Even for the kuna?
Yeah, that's what we mean. That's what a halal is, yeah. So zushi, sura, shava, bakal, and adinshim, for napogu. And again, you could ask, al amana shkoin, god, shkain, he asks him as halalas. Doesn't the amana herself become a halala? And the answer is same thing. Hachanami kivichin nivalopsula. Here also, once the woman has had relations with a guy, even if it was against her will, she still becomes possible. The Amr of Yochanan, Meshum Rav Shimon, Minayim Lo Evit Kuchavim Ve'Evit Abala Kehenes Ve'Alalviya Ve'Yisrael Shepsulua. How do we know that if a Goy has relations with a Jewish woman, whether she's a Kehenet or a Leviya or a Yisraelis, that he makes her possible to Kuhuna, or also if she's a Bas Koyen, she's possible to every Yitzrama? Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Bas Koyen Kisiya Mono Grusha. If a Bas Koyen becomes a widow or a Grusha, then we say she's allowed, and she doesn't have any children, then she's allowed to go back to eating Truma. We'll have a lot of discussion about that later in the Masechta, about the different details of that situation. Which means, Mishi Yeshlei Almanus of Grushin, which means only if she was with somebody before who she's capable of being an Almana or a Grusha from. Yatsu Ovid Chavim Ve'Evid Chainlein Almanus for Gerushin, as opposed to a Goy or an Evid, Kedushin of a Chalal not Toifus. So therefore, by saying that, the Torah is implying that if she had relations with one of them, then they make her possible. Then they make her possible as far as Truma. Let's do two more lines and then we get to a good stopping point. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya asks Rabbi Yosef, you're saying that the halacha should be the child of a mamzer because Rabbi says, but my chazis the samchas ad Rav Dimi, smoich ad Rabin. Why are you relying only on Rav Dimi's report? In a minute. Why are you relying on Rav Dimi's report of what Rabbi said, that Rav Dimi had reported that Rabbi said a vlad mamzer? Instead, smoich ad Rabin. Instead, rely on what Rabin said. Because when Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said, Rab Nosson and Rab Yehuda HaNasi Morim Bar LaHaterah. That Rab Nosson and Rab Yehuda HaNasi hold that it's mutter, that the child is mutter, it's not a mamzer. Uman Rab Yehuda HaNasi, Rebbe. Who is Rab Yehuda HaNasi? Is Rebbe. The two names for the same person. So therefore we see that we have another report saying that he says it's kosher. So you want to say that halacha is like the child is a mamzer. We have another report that said that the Rebbe said the child is kosher. You can't prove anything from that.